I'm so honored and privileged that I get to share a word today. And I believe God gave me a word today, and for some it might be simple and for some it might be profound, but let me tell you, I felt the Spirit of God as I was writing it, because when I was writing it, I was reading the Word of God, because I'm going through the book of Luke, and man, just the stories were impacting my life. And I said, man, if it's impacting my motherhood, I know it's going to impact yours. And I just want to give a shout out to all the moms. I'm going to just name them off, the grandmas, amen? All the mamas with young kids, the moms with teenagers, and the mothers of adult children, God bless you. To all the stepmothers for stepping up, we appreciate you. The mother-in-laws, the mother-in-loves, the adoptive mothers, the foster mothers, the mother figures, the spiritual mothers, the women who are trying to conceive during this time, you already have a mother's heart. We applaud you for that. We need you, amen? We need women that have a mother's heart, not women that are quick to dismiss their motherhood or wish they weren't mothers or complain about their motherhood. What one thing I learned in my infertility is I promised God this. I said, I will never complain about being a mom, because I desire to be a mom so bad. Going through my infertility and seeing all these women just pop out babies like this, you know, and my dog having babies before me, and it was tragic, you know. And Mother's Day was really hard for me. It was a really hard day for me. So I just wanted to acknowledge every woman that is trying to conceive right now, that is believing God for her miracle. I was in your shoes. I love you. I'm praying for you. If God did it for me, He'll do it for you. Amen. If there's a mother next to you, come on, wish her a happy Mother's Day. Yes? And if you're a man in here today, if you're online watching, I don't want you to dismiss this service. Listen, this message is important that you hear this, because it's going to teach you and help you and assist you and give you words in your prayers on how to help the mother and the baby mama in your life. And if you have daughters, you're going to be able to speak into their lives based on the wisdom that you receive from another mother. Amen? Amen. So lean in all the more. And as we continue our series on open heaven, I want to talk to you about what that might look like for us moms, and coming from the perspective of a fiercely feminine mother. Amen? How many fiercely feminine moms do we have out there? Yes? Yes. And I want to read to you this verse, if you'll go with me to your Bibles, to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 51. I'm going to be reading, it's where the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her that she will be pregnant supernaturally and give birth to the Savior, Jesus. Okay, so yes, I am talking about none other than Mother Mary. Amen, because there's something about Mary. Amen. And Mary's reaction was pleasing to the Lord. It was pleasing to the Lord. And her response was in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. We'll start there. We'll start in Luke 1, 38. It says, she said this, after the angel Gabriel said, you're going to have a son, you're going to be supernaturally impregnated with this son, and don't worry, I'm going to take care of everything type of talk. She was scared at first. And the angel Gabriel's like, fear not, don't be afraid. You know, every time an angel appears, the following words the angel says is fear not, because it's freaky, you know, to see an angel. And so she saw this angel, and she says, you know what? Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. That was her first response to her calling to be a mother. I am the Lord's servant. Moms, we are the Lord's servant when we mother our children. Amen. And Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. And in Luke 1, 46 through 50, it talks about Mary's song. And after some things took place and she traveled to meet her relative, she burst into this song. And this song just blesses me, because it gives us a glimpse of what Mary's heart posture was. It says, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. Another translation says, for He lifts the lowly. He lifts the lowly. From now on, all generations, say all generations, all generations, even this generation right here, right now in the 21st century, will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. Amen. The title of my message today is Nurturing the Heaven in My Home. Nurturing the Heaven in My Home. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this Mother's Day today. I'm thankful, Lord, that you're going to speak a word to us that is going to bless us, that is going to encourage us, that is going to get us to a place, Lord, where we're just going to be free in our mothering, free in our parenting, free in being a child before you, God, and allowing you to mother and father and parent us through whatever season we're in right now. Just the trust that we're going to lay on you because of Mary's example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise in this house. Go ahead and take your seats. And, you know, I have this picture of my family I want to put up. They're going to put it up right now in a second. There's my family. Well, minus my husband, but, you know, my kids. Those are my kids. And all of my children are so different. I mean, like, they're just night and day. I can't say that two are the same or two are even similar. They're all different. They're all different. And, you know, mothering is about managing personalities. Amen. Establishing boundaries. Yes. Refereeing. But leading them all in the same direction. It's like all these different, you know, minions. And you're trying to just get them in the right direction, you know. And it's like, you know. You know what I mean? They do all these funny. I'm sorry, I haven't done an impersonation in years. I actually have a hidden talent. I'm an impersonator and I can impersonate people and things. And yeah, anyway, don't get me started with Wizard of Oz. All right, so anyway, that just came out. So I'm looking at my husband like, whoa, okay, I didn't realize that just came out of me. So it's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. Yes, it is. Okay, if I want to impersonate, I can impersonate. All right, so so listen, I love them all differently, but equally. Okay, because I have to raise them differently, but equally. I have to love them equally, but raise them differently. Amen? Because of their Judah. Let's put that picture back up. He's my bear. Judah is my cuddly, cuddly bear. Oh, I love that boy. He's passed me up. He's so tall. He's encouraging. He's compassionate. You know, when he sees I'm having a hard time, he goes, Mom, 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 come here, come here, come here. Give me a hug. Give me a hug. And I'm, you know, Miss Busybody, Miss Martha in the house. And I'm like, wait, what? No, I can't write a cup. Give me a hug. Give me a hug. And he gives me a hug. And he's just this big bear, you know, because he's so much bigger than me now. And he's my compassionate empathizer. He's our athlete. I mean, this kid works hard. And then there's my Faith. She is my type A personality. She, you know, we argue on how early to set her alarm clock in the morning. I'm like, 6:30. She goes, 6:05. 6:20. 6:15. Done. And she'll come, Mom, it's time for you to get up. I gotta go to school. I'm like, you got it, you got it. You know, it's not that like that every morning, but most mornings. Anyway, she's sharp. This girl is witty. She's sharp and she's super talented. If some of you have heard her sing, and she wants to write songs, and she loves quality time. And then there's Zara. Oh, my wonderful Zara. She's my sensitive and loud, and she's just says so much love in her, and she loves to cuddle as well, but she's a little fast runner, and that girl is down for anything. It's like, let's go swimming. She's looking for her bathing suit. Let's go to the store. She's looking for her shoes. She is just constantly on the go, ready to go. She loves to sleep in as well, like me, so praise the Lord for that. But and then there's David, little David, my curly-haired wild man. We're still figuring him out. He just turned three, and you could turn the photo back to me or now, but he just turned three, and you know, he kind of freaks me out sometimes because the other morning I didn't know he had my phone, and I was at a friend's house, and I'm looking through my phone to show her a picture of something, and I see all these pictures of me sleeping, and I am like crashed out. I'm in my pajamas. And, you know, he freaks me out. I'm like, you know, this kid's going to go on Facebook Live, and I'm going to be knocked out, you know? And I don't know what I'm going to do with that, you know? He just like gets up, finds my phone, and just starts doing things around the house. So if that ever happens, you know, it's David, it's the wild man, okay? And then you saw Bella up there, that is my dog, and that is what shows that I am a crazy woman because I have four kids and I was dying to get a dog. I love dogs, she is my baby, my fifth baby. But all that to say that God has called me to nurture them and raise them to be men and women of God, amen? Mary was the mother of Jesus, right? And our children are God sent. Just like God sent his son and brought him to the earth to Mary's care, God has sent his children, our children, to us to nurture and to care for, just like Jesus. And we don't get to choose their personality. I wish we did. We don't get to choose who they become, but we can guide them in the right direction. You know, and we're called to raise them. And anybody surprised by the child God gave you? Just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe God gave me you. Either you're so wonderful or so terrible or both in the same. Yeah, I can't believe God gave you to me. You know what I mean? It's like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming, right? But yet we're so privileged to be trusted to raise these children. Listen, I always say, honey, I tell my kids, you know, you don't have to be this one day. You don't have to be that one day. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a minister. But you will be a man of God and you will be a woman of God. It doesn't matter what you do. You want to be in business? Fine. You want to be an athlete? Fine. You want to be a minister? Fine. You want to go all in into ministry? Fine. I'm going to love you and celebrate each and every one of you the same. But it is my responsibility to raise you to be a man of God, unwavering in your faith. It is my responsibility to raise you to be a fiercely feminine, powerful woman of God. Whatever sphere, whatever space you are in, that is my calling. And you see, in the scriptures we just read, over 2,000 years ago, the angel Gabriel was explaining to Mary that she is highly favored among all women, and she is chosen to mother the Son of God. Whew! Try and take a spoonful of that. And he instructs her to name him Jesus. He says his name will be Jesus, which in those times, believe it or not, the name Jesus was a common name. It's like saying Jesus. You know what I mean? You're going to have a child, he's going to be the Son of God, and you're going to name him Jesus, which is a powerful name. It's a great name. But it was a common name. And why would the Son of God be called such a common name? Could it be that God chose a common name so it could be easily recognized as a household name? As much as we see Jesus as our divine Savior, our Redeemer, we are also to see him as accessible and able to dwell with us in our home. Bring Jesus, a familiar name, but a name that is potent and powerful, into your home. You're not to be intimidated by the name. You're to be empowered by the name. Amen? Amen? Everyone say, heaven in my home. Heaven in your home. So Gabriel tells Mary she will have a son and to name him Jesus. And what's the first thing Mary does? She responds with agreement. Then we read, she says, yes, let that be unto me as you have said. Then we read that she visits her relative Elizabeth, who is 6 months, miraculously 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And Elizabeth encourages Mary. As soon as Elizabeth sees Mary, the baby leaps inside of her, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Did you know that an unborn baby can be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Did you know that an unborn baby has life? Did you know that an unborn baby can carry the Spirit of God? Did you know that an unborn baby can sense the power of God as you step into the atmosphere of Jesus? Did you know that your baby can sense the power, the working power and anointing of God? You know, we need to be mothers that say, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to speak for the unborn, because they can feel Jesus. And if you've ever had, you know, made mistakes in your past, or maybe you regret some decisions that you have made about, you know, unborn babies or such, I want to tell you there is grace for you. This is not a bashing session. This is a Mother's Day message to encourage you, to lift you up, that we serve a God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances, and you don't have to beat yourself up anymore. God is a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a forgiving God. So get up, girl. Come on. Yep. Amen, amen. So Mary has this encounter with Elizabeth, and this thing happens in Elizabeth's womb, and she senses Jesus in Mary's womb, and there's just a Holy Ghost moment right there, and the Holy Spirit was there, and man, the power of God just moved. The baby leaped, the amniotic fluid shifted. It was like, whoa, 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 and Mary busts out in a song. What do you do when you're in the anointing and you're experiencing revival in an uncommon moment? You begin to worship. You begin to sing. You just say, Shatarabababasanda. I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know how to explain it, but I'm in the presence of something greater than myself. I'm in the presence of an anointing. I'm stepping into something. I'm carrying something that is uncommon, that is out of this world. I'm carrying something that is different because I'm different and I feel different now. So I'm just going to shatarababasanda. Oh, yes, I feel Jesus in this place. I've noticed in my life that when I am most less focused on myself, I can focus more on Jesus. Then when I'm less in my head, I can help others more. Let me tell you, when you step in the presence of God, you begin to realize that there's people and things around you that God wants you to speak and move into. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Elizabeth encourages Mary by confirming what the angel Gabriel had already told her. And Mary sings. She sings, and her song she recorded, you know, and it is believed that Luke, the author of the book of Luke, that Mary was able to give him firsthand information. It was either to him or to Peter that this was my song. This is what I said. And Mary recorded what she said because she believes even her song was a prophetic song, was a powerful song. You know, my soul glorifies the Lord. My heart rejoices in God, my Savior. She was already calling the baby that she was called to carry her Savior. She knew that she was carrying the Savior of the world. It was a prophetic, powerful, Holy Spirit anointed moment. And she busts out in this song, and it's recorded in the book of Luke. And worship, let me tell you, is a sealant. When you get a prophetic word, you got to drench that thing in worship and activate your faith, because when you begin to worship, it diminishes fear, it drowns out fear, and it brings in faith, and it raises your faith. Well, I don't feel it when I do it. Well, then you gotta keep doing it. Well, I don't feel it when I keep doing it. Well, then you gotta keep stepping in. You gotta keep renewing your mind. What does the word of God says? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, because it's not God that needs to change. It's God in you that needs to transform. Amen. And just knowing that God is real, God is good, and I just got this righteous indignation in me right now where the word of God is being looked at as not as potent and not as powerful and not as life-changing as it's supposed to be. The word of God is powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. Come on, it divides. It shifts. The word of God is powerful. Declare the word of God. I just felt I needed to say that. Amen? So not just and worship to activate your faith, and not just to receive the prophetic word, but to nurture it, that what God has said will take place. You know, what is worship for? It's a song. And what's a song for? It's to be saying over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Worship drenches the prophecy with your faith. And her song begins with, my soul magnifies the Lord. This song, often called the Magnificat, it's a Latin word, is similar to Hannah's song. Hannah couldn't have children either, and she went to the temple and prayed, and Eli, the priest, thought that she was drunk because she was praying to have a baby so bad, and God gave her a baby Samuel, who was a powerful man, and she bursts out in a song too, and it continues, you know, with 12 other references to the Old Testament. So as Mary, you know, I didn't read all of Mary's song, but the second half of her song are all theologically sound statements, and Mary, it shows that she was a woman of the word, that when she had that encounter with the angel, and when she had that encounter with Elizabeth, and she had that Holy Ghost moment, she knew her word. She knew her word. She just began to sing, oh, he's the king of Israel. She just started blah, 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 just saying all these things in her song. This woman of God, let me tell you, Jesus chose the right woman. She knew her word. She was a student of the word because it just flowed out of her like water, the word of God, amen? And Mary's song holds so much significance because she rejoiced, meaning she was already celebrating what was unborn. How many of us even struggle to celebrate things even after they're born? It's hard for us to bask and thank God while in the blessings because we're so focused on the burdens that it brings. Okay, I got a new baby. Oh God, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? And it's okay, some of us mothers do have those worries and those things, but don't forget to rejoice. Don't forget to love that baby. Don't forget to clap your hands and say, thank you, Lord. You have called me favored. You have blessed me. I have this child in my bosom right now. I have this child that you're calling me to raise. Thank you for trusting me. Amen. And that shows that our faith attracts God's favor. She was so engulfed in the presence of God, it didn't bother her. Listen, she was so engulfed in the presence of God, it didn't bother her that Joseph, whom she was betrothed to, could divorce her. That she could be stoned to death for accusations of adultery. That she could be disowned by her family. That she could be ostracized. Because even though she was betrothed, the betrothal was as binding as a marriage in those days. When your fathers agreed, it was signed, sealed, delivered. You know what I mean? It was done. It was practically her husband already. And she was overwhelmed instead with the honor that she gets to carry and mother the Savior of the world and partner with God to raise the Son of God, none other than his name being Jesus. And I want to talk to you today about nurturing the heaven in your home. And how we are called like Mary to carry Jesus in our, you know, how she carried Jesus in her womb, but she already made room for him in her heart. Amen? And how to nurture the heaven in my home, and I'll quickly go through these points. Point number one, nurture the order. Nurture the order. Mary had the right partnerships and relationships. They say it takes a village. Well, pick the right village, okay? Pick your village. And if there's people that you live with because of circumstances, well, then pick your interactions. Amen? Amen. She gravitated to the right people around her that will support the gift that she was trusted with. She went to see her relative Elizabeth, whom we believe she spent the first 3 months of her pregnancy with. Now, Elizabeth was in her 6th month, and we believe that, you know, possibly Mary was already instantly pregnant at the moment, so she spent her first trimester with Elizabeth and left Elizabeth as soon as Elizabeth hit 9 months. So she picked her village, and she got to enjoy that time. She says, I'm just going to shut out the word. I'm going to be with somebody who believes in me. Right? 3 months. 3 months. And she also partnered with her betrothed husband, Joseph. In Matthew 1 in the NIV, the chapter begins with this title, Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. I love blended families. I love blended families because God loves blended families. And I can't say and emphasize and talk about this enough, because is it okay if I talk about it a little bit? I love blended families because God loves blended families. And let me tell you, Jesus was in a blended family. That the moment that Mary conceived Jesus, he was already in a blended family. Joseph was not his biological father, but he chose to be his father. And, you know, let me tell you, he took Mary pregnant with a baby that wasn't his son, and he took all the baby drama that came with it. All the baby mama drama, right? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, I want to read this to you. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You see, Joseph already planned to divorce her. He already planned it, but he was a good man. He was a righteous man. He said, I'm going to do it nice. I'm not going to put it on Facebook. I'm not going to sue her. You know, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not going to, you know, put it on Instagram and make myself look like the hero and she's the terrible one. No. You know, so he was a righteous man. I'm going to do it quietly. And it was so real that Joseph had to have an angel appear to him too, to be an earthly father to Jesus. So Joseph needed an angel to talk to him too and say, bro, it's all right. It's gonna be all right. And if I could speak to all the stepfathers, I wanna say, brother, it's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. Put your boots on and get in the game. We need you. We need you. And we don't just need you to be present, we need you to have the right heart. Amen? And Mary made room for Joseph to co-parent a perfect child with her. She needed him. He was just as destined and called to Mary as he was to fathering Jesus with Mary. Matthew 1:24, it says, when Joseph woke up after having that encounter with the angel, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. You see, Joseph's fathering was essential to raise the Son of God. Joseph taught Jesus the family trade, carpentry. He said, I'm gonna take you in, not only because the Lord told me to, but I'm gonna teach you what I would teach my own sons. I'm gonna teach you the family trade. I'm gonna teach you the family. I'm gonna keep you a part of the family business. Come here, son, you are my son. Let me show you how to be a man and how to make a living and how to be successful. Amen? Joseph's fathering was essential. Joseph, and fathers, you are just as called to that child as she is. You are just as called to that child as she is. And I know it's Mother's Day, but trust me, the mamas want me to say this. It's Mother's Day, so I'm gonna say this for her. Yeah? Help her raise the men to be men, and help her raise the women to be women. Can I get an amen? Let me say it again. Help her raise the men to be men and the women to be women. She needs you in the mix. She needs you front and center. Single moms, when you have children, you need to know that they understand they are marrying your kids too. Okay? No exceptions. You don't put a ring on some of me, you put a ring on all of me. It is a complete circle. There's no gaps in it. Otherwise, it won't stay on. And I heard this quote from an unknown person. It says, if he doesn't fall on his knees in prayer, he doesn't deserve to fall on one knee with a ring. Amen. Amen. A man without God is one I can live without. Pre-marriage, all right? if he's unsaved and you're married to him, win him over by your testimony. That's scriptural. Amen. We'll break that down in another sermon. If you want heaven in your home, there must be order. Amen. Nurture the order. Nurture the order. If there's unforgiveness, if there's strife, if there's jealousy, if there's baby mama drama, baby daddy drama, if there's past issues, if there's past mistakes, if there's unforgiveness, it's worth it to work through it so you two can be in agreement and have a home that is not ran by chaos, but is ran by the favor and presence of God. Amen. It is better to work hard and go through the hard work to be forgiven and forgive than to live in strife and try to live this life of he said, she said. I hit you, you hit me, I hate you, you hate me, and trying to show your kids what a balanced life looks like. It's not going to work, amen? All right, point number two, nurture your calling. Nurture your calling. Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. You see, we want the angel, we want the promise, and the blessing, like Mary, but we don't want the enemy that comes with it. We don't want the adversary, the time and prayer to keep it. And what it's going to require you, the fasting, the prayer, or the discipline to grow it. We see everyone wants the prophecy, but few are willing to take the time to leave the legacy. It takes time. And in our humanity, it requires a supernatural connection to heaven to fight off the enemy that wants our child's destiny. The enemy wants your babies. Come on, the spirit of Pharaoh is still alive. It still wants to cast off all the babies that are called to greatness. Don't let Pharaoh have your babies. Don't let him cast them into the sea. Don't let him rip them out of your arms. I don't care how old they are. I don't care how young they are, unborn or born. Mom, you need to rise up and you need to say, Pharaoh, let my baby go. You can't have my baby. baby. You can't have their destiny and you can't have me. You're not gonna beat me down and discourage me to get me to a point to where I can't mother these kids. I'm gonna buff it myself daily. I'm gonna get my mind right. I'm gonna do what I gotta do because the kids that I'm called to need to see a mother that is a bondage breaker, a mother that is a generational stronghold breaker, a mother that says if she can do it, I can do it. Hallelujah. Somebody in this house give a shout of God and say, I'm a mother that is called and anointed to raise powerful children. I don't care what enemy comes against me. I'm gonna be found in the house of God. I'm gonna have to do a part two to this message. I'm gonna have to do a part two because there's so much more. But I'm gonna close with this. I'm going to say that Mary went to the temple and she took Jesus to the temple, and he was 8 days old, and presented him before the Lord. And there was a man by the name of Simeon there, and Simeon was a righteous man, and it says that he had the Holy Spirit in him. And this is before the Holy Spirit fell in Acts. The Holy Spirit fell on few people, selective people, and the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. And Simeon, the Lord told him that he wasn't gonna die until he got to see the Savior. And he ran to the temple and he's like, let me hold this baby. Let me hold this Jesus. And man, he gave such a beautiful word and prayer and utterance about the baby Jesus, to where even Joseph and Mary were astonished, like, wow, that's a big word for my baby. And Mary treasured it. And he said, but Mary, let me tell you this. And I'm paraphrasing, okay? But he said, Mary, I want you to know that your son is called to great things, but he's gonna go through some things. And the scripture actually says in Luke, it says that it's going to pierce your heart like a sword to your soul, the pain that you're going to experience with this child. And I want to tell you, moms, that sometimes our children, it feels like a sword has gone through our heart. It feels like a sword has pierced our soul. Because motherhood is not easy, and this is the reality that Mary had to have in the moment. Some of you are grandparents, some of you have adult children, you're like, my kids have hurt and offended me, made me feel like, man, did I even do a good job? Did I do it right? Did I raise them right? Did I hurt them? You know, all these things that the enemy would just love to get you stuck on. And Simeon said, he already said it, before anything even happened, Jesus was 8 days old, he says, it's gonna pierce your soul like a sword. It's gonna hurt being the parent, being the mother, being called to love this child. It's gonna hurt. And she didn't know it at the time, but Simeon, I believe, was prophesying how he's gonna die on the cross, how she's gonna have to watch her son die in agony, and how she's gonna have to weather that season as a mother. And moms, I just want to tell you, it relates to us too, because there's going to be moments where our kids are going to disappoint. There's going to be moments that we're going to disappoint. There's going to be moments that we're going to feel wounded. Some of you are here right now and you are already wounded as a mother. But let me tell you, don't forget the blessing when the burden is big. And don't forget the responsibility when the blessing is big. And God is so faithful. God is so faithful that he fills every gap in every area in your life, in your parenting and in your mothering, and areas where you lack. And you're a come on, how many praying moms do we have in this place? Listen, the kids are not gonna be in awe, and they're not gonna sing songs on how tall you stood. They're gonna be talking about how hard your knees fell on the floor. And you need to pray for your children and say, God, where I've messed up, God, where they messed up, God, where I didn't know how to parent them through this season, cover that. Forgive. Lord, I pray that your transformation take place in their hearts right now. Some of you believe in God for your adult children that are, I just feel led to just pray for that right now. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. And how, you know, Simeon said this. He said it to her and he said, your heart's gonna be pierced. And some of you right here, your heart is pierced right now. Maybe you have little babies and you're saying, oh God, help me in the moments when it gets hard. There's a grace available to you.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.